Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to join you online today. Thank you for joining us for our service so far. And I'm looking forward today to beginning our new series called Along the Way. A few years ago, myself and my dad went to the cinema together to watch a movie called The Way. And as we got there and settled down in the cinema and popcorn and drinks and just enjoying time together, the movie began with the opening scenes of a father and a son who had a challenging relationship. The father, he was astute, he was focused on his job, he was a professional, he was a hard worker, he was busy. Whilst his son was a lot more free-spirited. He didn't have a permanent job, he was a traveller, he journeyed. And we get to the scene quite early on when the father is on the golf course playing with his friends when he gets a phone call. The phone call comes from a police station in Spain. And the police officer on the telephone has to break the sad news to this father that his son has been found dead. The father is obviously completely upset. He heads to the airport straight away to travel to Spain to go and collect his son's belongings and to receive his body. He gets there and he is devastated. And we find out that his son was on a journey. He was on a journey traveling from the south of France into the north of Spain. He was on a pilgrimage called the Camino de Santiago. And after he gathers all his son's belongings and they cremate his body, the father makes the decision that he was going to finish the journey for his son. And on the journey, he would scatter the ashes of his son along the way at significant moments. So the father, who's a little bit older in life now, puts on his son's walking clothes, puts on the jacket, puts on the walking boots, and begins on the journey. And he is determined. He is focused on finishing this journey as soon as possible so that he can get back to his home, back to work, back to normal life. He goes 100 miles an hour. He is so focused in getting to the end that he pushes himself too far and maybe didn't realize the limitations of his body. And he gets to a moment where he's struggling. And he was so focused that he neglected the other people who were on the same path. He didn't stop to have conversations with others. He didn't open up. He didn't become vulnerable or share or ask about anyone else. He just was focused on the destination. He didn't even stop to view the beautiful scenery of northern Spain. He was just focused on getting to the end. Eventually, as he goes on and he continues to struggle, he begins to have these moments of reflection. Reflecting on the relationship that he had with his son. He begins to open up to those who are walking with him, begins to share a little bit about his experience, helps others as they help him. And as he progressed on the journey, he experienced a transformation within him. He began to appreciate what was all happening around him. He began to value the relationships with the people he was journeying with. And then finally, as they all gathered at the end point in this grand cathedral, they'd reached their destination. I think often in life we can become frustrated when we're so focused on the destination. So focused on the end of something or the resolving of something that we actually miss out on the joy of the journey. One of the characters in the movie actually comments about this man that says, doesn't he even stop to smell the roses? I think sometimes in life we can become so focused that we miss out on so much that's going on all around us. In life we have to be careful that we don't get so frustrated and build our hopes upon everything working out as we would like it to be, and everything maybe lining up as we think it should be, and every situation resolving. Because the truth is, if we are looking for those things to happen, there's no guarantee. Nowhere did God promise that everything would be just as we would want it to be. But he did promise that he would be journeying with us all the way. I wonder today, can you go on a journey with me? Can we begin to look at not just the life of Jesus, but those he traveled with, the disciples, the people that he encountered along the way? As we go through the Bible, we see these words, the way or God's ways, mentioned in the Old Testament. It spoke about his purposes and his will, that if you followed and obeyed his commandments, that you were walking in his ways. It also talks about the conduct or a way of thinking of the individual, good or bad. And in the New Testament, we see how Jesus and his disciples, the way, talked about the route of their journey. That at many circumstances and moments that whilst they were on their way, they encountered someone or they stopped by somewhere on the way to their destination. And we can also look to the early believers. You know, the oldest designation that the earliest believers described themselves as was followers of the way. Now, each of us are on a journey. Life is not about arriving, it's more about becoming. And Jesus demonstrated that we are all on a journey of discovery and becoming. That until we get to the end of our lives, no one's going to have arrived yet. We're all on this journey and process of becoming. Turn them in your Bible to John's Gospel, chapter 14. Jesus demonstrates throughout his whole earthly ministry of the life of journey. Jesus and his disciples walked everywhere. They took the odd boat journey, maybe the odd donkey trip, but they walked everywhere. And I guess with the price of fuel and energy at the moment, we're going to maybe have to get used to walking a little bit more. Think about that. Journeys must have taken a lot longer. Think of all they saw. They weren't going at 70 or 60 miles an hour. They were at walking pace. And they had time to speak and listen to each other. And on this journey, Jesus shows us that he encountered all different types of people. He taught his disciples along the way. He challenged his critics along the way. He stopped to show love and compassion for all people. Jesus was on a journey that would lead him to Calvary. It would lead him to the fulfillment of his earthly mission. In John 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples before he departs. And he explains to them how they will be reunited once again in the future. We read from verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Thomas's question focuses on the destination. And in doing so, he overlooks Jesus' main point, which is about the way. To arrive at the destination, the Father, it's only through following the way Jesus, the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is explicit. He doesn't leave any room for maneuvering or guessing or summarizing. No, he's clear that he is the only way to the Father. But Jesus is not only the way to the destination, he is the way to live your life here on earth. See, we see here that Jesus is teaching his disciples the importance of understanding, following the way, not just to the destination, but how to live their whole lives. He's the way to the Father. He is the way to live your life here on earth until we finally arrive in our Father's house. As the way, Jesus is our path to the Father. As the truth, he is reality of all God's promises. And as the life, he joins his divine life to our life, both now and for all eternity. See, Jesus is shifting here the disciples' focus from destination thinking to the way to the destination. He explains about the who, not the how. Thomas asks, how can we know the way? But Jesus responds by telling them who is the way. He tells them the way, not the why. Jesus often does that in life for us today still. We often find ourselves asking why, but he's always there willing to show us the way. And then finally, he tells them where, not when. Have you ever found yourself asking these questions? Questions like, how is this happening? Or, why is this happening to me? Or, when will this be over? I guess the disciples are trying to figure out those things in their minds at this point. And if we're being honest, when we find ourselves in places along the way which are challenging and difficult that maybe we would prefer not to go through, we are quick to ask these questions of why, how, and when, where Jesus flips it and tells us about not how, but who, not why, but the way, not when, but where. I wonder today if you were to stop asking those questions and start asking a new question. Maybe you were to ask, okay, Lord, along the way, who should I be becoming? Who do you want me to become? See, finally, he tells them this to help them to realize that he is the way through life. Not just the way to the destination. He is the way to live your life here, now, on earth. See, Jesus talks about becoming, not arriving. Along the way, Jesus encountered some people who felt that they had arrived, that they had made it. People who thought they had it all together and were quick to point out the faults of others. They had no self-awareness, but plenty of awareness of other people's failings and mistakes. These were the religious leaders of the time, and Jesus had many, many altercations with these people. And they missed the key lesson here. Their focus was on destination. Who is getting in? Who is included? Rather than the way. Rather than who they were supposed to become along the way. You know, there's a danger in life that sometimes we can feel that everything is going our way, that we have made it, that we have arrived. But Jesus teaches us here that no one's made it. No one's arrived yet. Until you enter into his Father's house, we're all on a journey of becoming. We're all on a journey of discovering the life that God has for each of us. And I guess on that journey, we've got to ask questions of, if that's the case, then who should I be becoming? In John's Gospel, we read these words at the opening of the chapter. He says, he gave them the privilege, the right, to become children of God. Those who received him, he gave them the privilege, the right, to become children of God. We are on a journey of becoming. No one's made it yet. No one's reached the destination. We're all on this journey of learning what it means to follow in his ways, to follow the way. So can I ask you today, as you go on this journey, not to be like the religious leaders who thought they had arrived and had it all together, but to be like the disciples who Jesus taught, who Jesus challenged and encouraged. And Jesus gave many examples of how we are to follow him. And I love what the ancient Jewish blessing said. This was a really old blessing that would have been familiar at the time of Jesus. The disciples walk in the dust of the master. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi's feet. These disciples were on a journey. They were following Jesus, and they spent every moment they could with him. They walked along the same paths. They sat at his feet as they taught him. Everything that he was sharing, they had the opportunity to soak up. Just like the blessing says that the dust of the rabbi would have been on them. Jesus gives you today the invitation to imitate him. It's an invitation to learn who he is, to shape how you live your life. That's what it looks like to be a follower of the way, to be someone who follows Jesus. Jesus shows us the Jesus way. Earlier in his ministry, he gives this instruction, this command, this story to explain the way. He says this, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he teaches us the way. The way we are to live our lives. What is the Jesus way? Well, Jesus is clear that it actually begins on the inside. It's our inner life. It starts in the heart. The religious leaders who thought they'd made it was all about what was going on the outside, what everybody else could see. But Jesus looks into our hearts and teaches us through the Beatitudes and the Sermon of the Mount and other points of his ministry of what it looks like to follow the Jesus way. It's about forgiveness, love for your enemies. It's about giving to those who can't repay you. It's about being generous to God. It's trusting instead of worrying. It's self-awareness rather than judging others. It's persistence in prayer, going the extra mile, turning the other cheek, loving other people, leaving bitterness, jealousy, envy behind, and being gracious, compassionate, and loving. It's being like Jesus. See, Jesus is the way. And over these next few weeks, we're going to go on this journey where we ask these questions about, well, who am I becoming on the way? But not only that, who are you influencing along the way? See, there will come that moment where we do transition and we step into our Father's house for all eternity. But until then, we have the privilege that we have been invited to go on a journey, to follow Jesus, to follow the way. But like him, we'll have moments where we'll be able to encounter people and help them to come along on the way too. You know, I was just reflecting this week about our Father's house. And I'm looking forward to that moment. I think that's going to be incredible. But I don't want to go alone. And I know people, and I'm pretty sure you'll know people as well, and at this point, they're not going to be there. And I believe that I am still here because God wants me to be a positive influence to those people, to reflect the way, to be a follower of the way that would be so attractive that to those around me who have yet to go on that narrow way, that they would say, there's something I am missing in my life. I'm fed up of being disappointed and have this lack of satisfaction in my life because I feel like everything just seems to be never enough. And my prayer is that they will come to know the way, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So over these next few weeks, we're going to go on this journey along the way. For each of us, I hope, my prayer, is that as we go on this journey, you'll have a fresh revelation of who Jesus is and how incredible the life that he has for you. That even in circumstances that are difficult and challenging, he promises that he will show you the way through it. I wonder today, even as you're watching right now, that maybe you've never made a choice or had a defining moment to enter into a relationship with Jesus. And that was his whole earthly mission. It's why he came to earth, because he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to open up the way for you to be in his Father's house forevermore. As I said earlier, his earthly mission, it all came to a conclusion upon the cross. And in that moment, he takes your place. He takes the punishment and the penalty for all the stuff that you've done that has offended God. The Bible calls that sin. Every regret, everything you feel guilty about, every shameful choice, every harmful thought, he took it all. He laid down his life and shed his blood so that you could be forgiven and you could experience the life that he came to give to you here and now and for all eternity. I want you to be in my Father's house. I want to spend eternity with you as well. And I want to give you the opportunity and extend the invitation to you right now to begin a relationship with Jesus. You say, Diane, that's me. Can you just pray this prayer and just mean it from your heart? Say these words out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you died upon the cross. You paid the penalty for my sin. I thank you that you shed your blood. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. Help me to follow you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer just now, please connect with us. We want to help you on your journey. But friend, as we go along the way over these next few weeks, can I ask you, who are you becoming? Who are you influencing? Who are you bringing into the kingdom? Who are you bringing in along the way?